It's time for Roast Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870, or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
Welcome to another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. We're glad you've joined us today. You know, one of the great things about podcasting is that you can listen to this broadcast whenever you choose via Blog Talk Radio by downloading the broadcast to your PC, to iTunes, or the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting outlet where feeds of our show are now available. Now, for our live audience, don't forget that we're moving to Wednesday nights beginning next week. We'll have some more great guests as we continue to explore the world of roses. Teresa, the show just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, it sure does, Chris. And I'm glad you mentioned the podcast because, you know, we have more than 50 podcasts available, and the topics range from interviews with our authors who have written about roses to information on rose trials and hybridizers, pest control, and even new rose releases, pretty much anything in between. So all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/rosechat, and you can check out the full list. Now, in August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina swept through the Gulf Coast and became one of the deadliest hurricanes ever to hit the United States, taking over 1,800 lives in the days of the storm and the flooding afterwards. Hurricane Katrina also took its toll on our guest today. Peggy Martin lost her parents, her home, and over 400 cherished old garden roses. She's with us today to talk about how the fury of the storm and how 20 feet of seawater could not crush her spirit and how she mustered the courage to begin again. Good morning, Peggy, and welcome to Rose Chat.
Good morning. Thank you. It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Peggy, our family, like many other families all over the world, watched the devastation of Katrina, and we prayed for those going through the storm, but we didn't know anyone personally that was living there at the time. But now that I know you and we've become friends, well, it takes this whole experience to a whole nother level. So let's start out today by talking about the story of Katrina and how your life was changed forever.
Yes, very, 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 very much so, unfortunately. Tragic time, very dark times for me, losing everything. But that was the least of my worries, losing the garden, the house, and my husband's shrimp boat. Losing my parents was just the most awful shock in the world. I really didn't function for 3 months after. I was a zombie. I couldn't believe that I had lost my parents like that. Mm-hmm. They were elderly, yes. They were 82, both of them, and married 63 years. And they didn't want to go through the evacuation. And they chose to stay there and asked me to obey, to go on and evacuate, but to leave them there. And a very hard thing, and it turned out to be just unbelievably horrible. But, as you said, life goes on.
Mm. Yes, it sure does. I lost my dad this year, and you know, there's just nothing like losing your parents, and I just can't even imagine what that was like for you. Could you tell us a little bit about your garden pre-Katrina? What kind of plants did you have?
I had gardened for 35 years at that time. We had built our home that time ago, and I just had a blank slate other than huge oak trees further out around from the house. My parents had a big place. It was 12 acres, and they gave us a big plot of land to build a house next door to them. And I just started collecting. I always loved plants. My grandmother was an avid gardener, rose gardener, and hydrangeas, and I just started collecting azaleas, camellias, daylilies, Louisiana iris, tropicals, ferns. I guess I had about maybe probably 1,000 or more of other plants all around the home, and and started getting into antique roses in 1989 when I was given the cuttings of the Peggy Martin rose and also another rose, a big red China. And I knew I had something different. I knew they were not the regular types of roses, and I started looking into it, but not really anybody knew anything about them until I saw where Maureen Detweiler was giving a talk at City Park Botanical Garden. And I went in. I told my husband, I have to go. And Peggy Martin was blooming at that time. I brought a sample with me, a cutting, and also of the china. I went through her show, and it was like a whole entire treasure chest was opened up before me. And I just was astounded that they had so many different old roses, so many colors, so many beautiful things I had never heard of before. So it started this entire new rose world for me. I showed the cuttings to Maureen, and she said she didn't know what they were. She had never seen the Peggy Martin cutting before. She didn't know what it was. But she said, I do know that you need to join the New Orleans Old Garden Rose Society, which she was one of the founders of it. And I did. Immediately after, I went to the first meeting and started that. And I've been over 20 years with the New Orleans Old Garden Rose Society. And so that was like the beginning of the rose journey, let's put it that way.
Well,
I had 450 antique roses alone. In that garden.
What were the names of some of the roses that you had in the garden? 450, that's a lot of roses.
Yes, it is. Well, not only old roses, but I tried to collect as many as I could. I had the space, and we wanted to get a good broad range of roses for our society to have. And I'm sort of an experimenter. I wanted to see what they looked like, how they grew, how beautiful the roses were, fragrant, so forth. But I had a lot of chinas. The Louis-Philippe china is very prevalent in old New Orleans, as Cramoisie Superior, which is sort of the red velvet china rose. And any other chinas that I could get my hands on, I collected. But I also collected some of the older hybrid teas that were very healthy. I love Aloha, and I have a climbing pink piece, which is spectacular, 6.5 inches across, and just a vibrant pink and very fragrant. And Parade is one of my favorite climbers too, but just so many roses. And then also in our area, the Noisettes, Noisettes, do very, very well. And hybrid musk, I had those growing up into trees, and they can take some shade, and they do a fantastic job with a partnership with existing trees. They grow up into it and reach for the sun. And just so many different kinds. As I said, I was just really more of an experimenter and just collecting everything I could get my hands on.
It sounds like you and I were collecting old garden roses around the same time, and that was back before the Internet made it so easy and connected people so quickly. Where did you go to find your roses?
Wherever. I wasn't too much of a rose rustler. I was very, very fortunate that I had a nursery in Algiers, which is a small town right across the Mississippi River Bridge from New Orleans, and she was a dedicated old rose person. And she brought in, it was Garden Smith at that time, but she's no longer in business after Katrina. And she acquired quite a few. She knew I was collecting. She would call me, and I'd go get just about everything I could get that she had, come home with a trunk full, and plant them. I was really lucky, too, because I had beautiful alluvial soil. It was very rich black clay. But I kept huge piles of compost going from the tree trimming trucks that I have dropped off there. And when I planted in about 50% compost mixed with that alluvial soil. And it was just wonderful. It was just really healthy.
Let's talk a little bit about your life today in your garden, how you found your new place after the storm and started your garden again.
Well, we had evacuated to Gonzales, Louisiana, which is right outside of Baton Rouge. I have an aunt who lived here, my father's sister, and we would evacuate because over the course of my marriage, we evacuated maybe 20 times. The little bitty town that we lived in on near the end of the road on the East Bank side of the Mississippi River, Plaquemines Parish, it only has one road in and out, and when a hurricane comes or is coming that way, you have to get out before the road floods, and you're not able to. So 20 times or more, and we'd come here to Gonzales all the time. Well, this particular time, we're here, and we have our car and a suitcase of clothes and our favorite pillows and a safe with important papers, and that's what we're left with. And we had to find a home. I picked out a home a couple of weeks after the storm and wasn't finished yet, but we were able to move in November. And my aunt and her son and her daughter were kind enough that we moved around from house to house trying not to overstay our welcome, but they were so kind and generous to us and let us live there until we could get a home of our own. And when I moved in November, I just thought my rose world was over, and I didn't want a garden. I didn't want roses. I just didn't want anything at that time. I had really great friends started coming by and bringing me roses and telling me, Peggy, you need to grow roses. And they were right. It's great therapy, and it got me involved again, and it just started me on this new journey. Which I'm on today, which is fantastic.
And how many roses do you have today?
I think I have over 300. I have them on an Excel list, but I haven't looked recently. But I was given 160 roses before at the first house that we bought. It just became too small, the house and the yard. I had roses everywhere. And so we bought another home a little bit further away, about 7 miles away, a larger piece of property and a larger house. So it worked out beautifully, and I moved most of all those roses, over 100. And they all lived, except two. And they didn't really die from moving, would you believe it or not? They died from, well, not died, but I misplaced them. I never could find them in the truckloads that we were moving. They got lost.
Peggy, we can certainly say that you have the original green thumb. So I'm assuming that you grow. I know what you mean about not knowing how many roses you have. I always say, well, I've got about 150. My husband says, have you counted them lately? It's probably more like 200. But no, I know. They die or they don't do well, and you add others, and it's just hard to keep a running list, but I do try. How were you reunited with the Peggy Martin rose? Is that what your friends brought to you, or was this from Dr. Welch? Or
no, actually, the mother plant lived. It lived. It was the only thing living in Plaquemines Parish, in that garden. Everything else was lost, but it lived through it. And the first time I went back, which was horrendous, of course, I had to pass Mother's house, and then we were going towards my house to see what we could salvage out of it. And I just noticed that everything else looked like Hiroshima, if you've ever seen pictures of it. It's just gray ash and black sticks. Well, that's how it looked. Everything's dead. And I looked over to the shed, the big tractor shed where this rose was planted on the corner, and it had grown all over the roof and all over the front, hanging down and toward the back. And I noticed that the canes were dark forest green, and now the rose was covered, the garden was covered with pure salt water, pure Gulf water that went over the levees like a bathtub, and that was trapped in there because our levees in our section at the lower part did not break. It went over 30 feet tidal surge, and it stayed trapped in there for 2 weeks until they had to break the levees to let the water out. So covered with salt water, pure salt water, for 2 weeks, no sun. This thing was still living, dark green. It had no leaves on it. It had lost the leaves, but I could see tiny new growth coming out of the cane as I passed by it. And my thoughts were, my God, how did this thing survive when everything else in that garden is completely dead and gone? Mm-hmm. It just was, I say, a miracle. I think I think mother and dad had a hand in it. They wanted me to have something. They knew what I was going to go through, and I just firmly believe that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, such an amazing story, such an amazing story. I can't imagine what it was like for you that very first time that you saw that rose. Hope had to spring up inside and had to be so special.
Absolutely, and that's where some of the people who were involved in the restoration funds, the nurseries, got cuttings. They came down there with me and took all the cuttings off the roof and used them, got them rooted up, and part of that restoration fund and the Antique Rose Emporium, they had had cuttings from roses that we had sent trying to get it identified. We tried for many years to get it identified. Nobody ever knew what it was, and I would bribe the people that came to our New Orleans Old Garden Rose Society when they came to talk and give programs. My husband always had fresh seafood, so we'd bribe them to have fresh seafood boil or whatever to get them down there to come look at the roses and see if they could tell me what it was. But nobody, really nobody could tell me. And people as far away as Australia, Pat Tulin was in the United States, and I was fortunate she came to the garden. And Viru and Girija Viragavan were from India, and they went to the United States for the GROW, that's the Great Rosarians of the World. They were each at those activities in the United States at the time, and they came, and they're still all great friends. It's wonderful, wonderful to have such great friends.
I think this rose's job is to be the Hurricane Katrina rose, so it is as it should be, I believe. You also told me that you're an organic gardener and have been for 4 years. Could you tell us how you maintain your roses?
Yes, yes. It's just really a very easy way to grow roses or to grow a garden. It's more or less, I grow my roses just like perennials. Of course, the main thing is a compost. And if you can't compost on your property in a separate place, you compost in place. And I think one of the most important things to gardening is mulch, organic live mulch, whatever you can use. Grass clippings are pure nitrogen. When they're put back, dried, and put back on the garden, I use those extensively. Leaves. And I love the mixture of, if you have a rotting lawnmower or whatever with a bagger, the mixture of cut grass with the chopped up leaves is just excellent. But you compost in place, just sort of, you want to mimic a forest floor environment. Whereas the debris and the leaves fall from the trees on the forest floor and they compost, they degenerate or they compost themselves there into beautiful soil. And I think leaves have a deterrent for weed germination to keep out competition. Just as you walk into a forest, deep in a forest, and you don't have the briars or the things that are growth in the beginning of it, it's so clean mostly, all just really thick with leaves and compost. And so that's a really great thing to have as you mulch around your garden too. So this works. It's constantly composting down and feeding all the microbes and the good bacteria, all the good guys in the garden. And I don't spray. I never use chemicals or anything. I let the good guys proliferate, and they take care of the bad guys. And I have never used chemicals for 40 years or so. And when you have a lot of, I really firmly also believe in diversity of plant material, and it gives you, first, it confuses the insects. They don't know what to go to when you have everything all mixed together. Chinese, sort of like a Chinese buffet. You don't know what to choose to eat. And then the second thing is it's a lot of host plants for the good guys so they can lay their eggs and they can proliferate there and just stay in that garden and take care of it, which they do, and encourage birds. Birds eat thousands of insects. And all you have to do is just provide a water source. You really don't even have to feed them. And they take care of a lot of the bad guys. They clean out the garden. So it's really a very easy way to garden. And when I do fertilize, I use alfalfa. I love alfalfa. It's a great fertilizer. And I like green sand. When I'm planting a rose, I always put a cup of green sand in the hole and alfalfa meal around. And if I can get it, I like to get the fish meal. That's really great, almost the perfect rose food. Or blood meal if you can't get fish meal. But that's a great idea. See how easy it is?
Wonderful ideas. Adding the green sand. Where do you get the green sand? I don't think I've ever used that.
It's a fine, dark, dark green sand. It's a high source of potassium and also iron. In our gardens in New Orleans area, we have a high, a middle number. Your NPK formula for fertilizer, the middle P is for phosphorus. And we're high in phosphorus, and so I don't add that to the garden. I don't add bone meal or any other source like that. I just use the nitrogen sources and the great potassium source. I had read about it years and years ago. I used to order it from the East Coast, but then I stopped because I think it was strip mined, and we'd rather not do that. But I started getting it from Texas, where it's a marine byproduct. So not only does it have a lot of potassium and iron in it, it has a lot of nutrients, good minerals and vitamins in it, sort of like a sea kelp or a seaweed, really, really nutritious. So it's one of my things that I've firmly believed in for many years now and really advocate. When I talk all over the United States, I've traveled so many places and spoke, and these are the things that I promote. I really believe in it. And even if you have a big container, you have a rose, and you can put green sand in there just as you do any other fertilizer. The thing about it, though, is very economical because you only need it every 5 years. A cup around a rose every 5 years. So I buy it. I think it comes in a 10-pound sack most places. Weed and feed stores, a lot of Ace Hardware, some of them, just a lot of people. Any stores that handle that kind of thing, the alfalfa meal, they'll usually have green sand, and if they don't have it, they can get it for you. It comes from Texas, as I said. Most of the Texas is very big on organics, and a lot of the supplies come from there.
Well, Peggy, that's lots of good information. Thanks. We have an old rose that we want to take some cuttings of. Do you have tips for those of us wanting to get some cuttings on how to do that more successfully?
Yes. Yes. Of course, in the middle of the summer, it's not as easy. They don't take as well unless you're really, really careful with them. Keep them very shaded and moist constantly. Every day, try to wet them down. You want a stem that has a deadhead on it. In other words, a bloom that has a rose has bloomed and it's lost its petals. It has the deadhead there, the stamens and whatever. Before it turns into a hip, you would like it right after it's finished blooming. You'll take a cutting. You don't use the tip because it's very tender and usually it won't take as a cutting. You want to come a little further down from that cutting and cut down on an angle. You want maybe a pencil thickness or a little bit less if you don't have any canes that thick. Cut off the deadhead and the tender part at the top. And where there's a leaf node at the bottom, I'd say take 6 to 8 inches or so, and you can have 4-inch to 6-inch cutting the top off. Where the leaf node comes in at the bottom is usually where the roots will come out, and we cut on an angle there. Some people even cut into the stem, opening it up a little bit. Some people crush it to give it more oomph to do a cutting. Most of the time I don't do that, but you can. And you want to dip that in a rooting hormone, either the powder or I love the gel. I've been using this gel lately, and it works really great. Open a hole in your potting soil in your pot and put it down in there, firm the soil, and just keep it moist. You can put a plastic bag over it if you want, like a mini greenhouse or a Coke bottle, opened up ended Coke bottle, or whatever you use, glass jars as they used to use years ago. Or you can leave it out in the open as long as you really keep it moist and in the shade. And that's it.
Oh, step by step. Now you have it, so it's going to be easy from here on out for sure. Peggy, you're a member of a lot of different organizations, and you're vice president currently of the Heritage Rose Association. Could you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Oh, yes, yes. I do belong to a lot of organizations, but my main one now is the Heritage Rose Foundation. And our purpose with that foundation is to preserve roses worldwide. We are also international. And we do this with repository gardens. And all of us that are involved in there, we're all volunteers, but we are really, it's part of our hearts. And we work very hard to preserve all roses. I am now also the treasurer and have been since 2011. Right after the hurricane, that was one of the things that really helped me come back into the rose world, too, because Stephen Scaniello, he is the president of the Heritage Rose Foundation, and he asked me to come on board as a board of trustees, and I have to tell you, I cried. I was so happy. I've always admired everyone that was involved in this organization and just admired what they were doing, and it was just a wonderful thing. It was just like when Dr. Welch named the rose after me. It was a bright, bright light in a really dark time. And I just feel so close to everyone there and close to the organization, work really hard for it. But it's a great organization. We're getting ready to have a really big, we have a journal that comes out, the Rosa Monday. And it's coming out in the fall, and it's going to have the Peggy Martin Rose story in it and pictures. So I'll do a plug, and it's very economical. It's $35, if you don't mind me saying, a year for membership for a family or senior, $25. I mean, it's very, very, very economical, as I said. We give out four newsletters a year. Dr. Malcolm Manners out of Florida is producing that, and it's a great publication. And I'm really looking forward to this. Rosa Monday is going to be a large issue, 128 pages. So we've been long awaiting it and can't wait for it to come out. And I do, you can go to my website if you're interested in joining, if you want to know the suppliers of the roses. I have a website. It's Peggy Rose Martin. I'm sorry. Correct that. Peggy Martin Rose. PeggyMartinRose.com, lowercase. And it will tell you all the information you need about joining the Heritage Rose Foundation, also the American Rose Society, which I belong to also. And I'm the old garden rose and shrub chairman of the American Rose Society. And I've been with them. That was the third thing that happened that really helped me come back into my rose life. I was asked to be that at that position, and I have been for 8 years now after Katrina. So really proud of that also.
Peggy, I can think of no one deserving it more or have the ability to add more than you'll add to all of those things that you do. I'm a member of the Heritage Rose Foundation, and that website is chock full of information, so worth the cost. There's just so much information there. If anyone is interested in that, they would definitely want to be a part of that. Peggy, as we've heard today, you just have an extensive knowledge on all things growing, and we know that we have a lot of listeners that are new to growing and new to roses. So could you offer some advice to them on how to get started growing anything and growing roses?
Okay. As I stated before, the steps that I use in gardening, whatever soil you have, whether it be a clay or a sandy soil, compost is the answer. And try to have a compost pile going in your yard, and if that's not possible, compost in place. But that's the most important thing. I've written an article many years ago about the living soil, and it is a living thing. It's not just something that you dump chemicals on. You want that soil teeming, thriving with the good bacteria, all the good microbes, and all the other bugs that are good, that the earthworms and so forth, that work through that soil and enrich it. This is your goal. And when you get soil like that, then you can grow anything. Everything grows beautifully. And I don't fertilize my perennials. They get the overflow from the roses or whatever, or the good soil, and they grow beautifully. So whatever you're growing, the soil is the key, the organic, healthy soil. A beginner rose person, if they would like to know a great rose to grow that's easy in our southern climate, the Chinas, as I mentioned, Noisettes, the hybrid musk, the old teas. Some of the hybrid teas, the older ones, are very good roses, but the old teas are excellent. One rose that I really recommend to new beginners of roses is Belinda's Dream. And that rose was bred by Dr. Basie at Texas A&M. And it's almost the perfect rose. It's a great one for beginners because it's very healthy, large green leaves, really strong grow. It has a gorgeous rose that is very full-petaled, a classic hybrid tea bud shape, classic hybrid tea open flower shape, very fragrant. It's got a long stem for cutting on the buds and large. I had pictures before the hurricane. I lost them, but I had a ruler measuring them 6.5 inches across, just gorgeous and fragrant. And as I said, so easy. That is one that I recommend to beginners. It'll get them into that rose growing very easily once you start with a rose like that and has so much going for it.
Great advice. Well, Peggy, it has been our extreme pleasure to have you with us today. And thanks so much for coming in and sharing your life with us. It's been a blast.
Oh, my pleasure and my honor. Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate
now, Peggy, I want to tell you that anytime you need a rose, you know, identified and you've got some shrimp or a crawfish bowl going, you call me.
I will do. Will do.
We'd be glad to give it our best shot.
Love to have you down.
Thank you so much for being on today.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was great. And you can find out more about Peggy, this remarkable rose she told us about, and the Heritage Rose Foundation on Peggy's website, as she mentioned, peggymartinrose.com.
That's right. Oh, wow. Teresa, what an amazing story, a story of fortitude and survival under tremendous, really horrendous times to emerge from that with such joy in your heart. That's just amazing.
She has certainly made the most of it. I can't imagine what it's been like for her, but isn't she delightful?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I want to thank our listeners for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to hear your comments and feedback on today's show. Send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. You can find us on Twitter by following the Rose Chat hashtag, like Rose Chat Radio on Facebook, and be sure and check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for information on sponsorship opportunities and for more information on past and present guests. You can also subscribe to our podcast for free via iTunes and the Stitcher app. We believe that becoming a member of the American Rose Society is a decision that you won't regret. Check them out online at ars.org. Now, the broadcast of the Rose Chat podcast is brought to you by the support of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing an all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa teas. Now, they're available wholesale and retail at manuretea.com.
Well, it's been great to be with you. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Awesome show today, Teresa.